Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. We praise and magnify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let there be light. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's so good to see so many of you back tonight. And so good to see some friends. My goodness. I see some friends from Tennessee here. I didn't know you guys were coming. That's so fantastic. How many of you enjoy these meetings? Incredibly so. Hallelujah. Incredibly so. They have been some of the most wonderful meetings that we've ever had, and seen some of the most wonderful miracles that we have ever seen. I've seen the blind eye opened here. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs, but some of the miracles this week have just been incredible. I think it was Monday night. There was a young man that came forward who had suffered for 10 years agonizing pain, and he had had a back surgery the year earlier and was still in agonizing pain. Can you imagine the hope that is lost when you turn to man and hope that man has something to offer, and they do their operation and you're still in agonizing pain? And that's where he was at. And of course, workings of miracles were so strong that night, as I'm expecting them tonight to be. Hallelujah. And Pastor Dave set him in the chair, and his leg was obviously a lot shorter, one of them, than the other one. And the Holy Spirit grew that out and did some other adjustments, but did something that we could not see. I mean, we could see some outward things taking place, but what took place inwardly in his back was incredible. He left his cane, walked off. We didn't tell him, leave your cane. We didn't give any instruction like that. He just walked off. And at the end of the service, I was standing in my office, and some people were in there getting some of the books. And Marty Plamondon come walking up, and he said, you know that guy that got his healing tonight? He's in the parking lot doing cartwheels. And of course, I thought he's figuratively speaking. I mean, the man's happy. He's real happy out there. And I said, well, that's good. And he goes, no. I mean, he's out there doing cartwheels. I said, what? He goes, no, come and see. Come on. And we did. And he was lapping the parking lot, and he was doing whatever, you know. And so I heard he was so sore the next day just from all that exercise. So what's God going to do tonight? What's he going to do tonight? I'm ready. We're going to Pastor Joel Ortiz. I didn't even see you there. Hallelujah. This is another one of Dave's preachers ordained under his ministry. And my God, he's got a powerful church in Fort Myers. It's just taken Lee County. So it was so amazing to me years ago that God took this Hispanic man and put him in affluent white Naples. And he took this cracker and brought him down here with all the Hispanics. I'm like, God, wait a minute, God. I think, I'm not sure what you, do you understand what you're doing? But he does. Hallelujah. We're going to take up our evening offering. If you would please get, I just want to instruct you just a little bit. If you're here tonight and you have, this is your first time, or you've never ever filled out a visitor's card, and the reason why we'd like for you to do this is so we can keep you up to date and let you know when Pastor Dave or Gary or any of the rest of a lot of good guys come in here. And if you have never filled one of these out, please, would you do that for me tonight and put it in the, even if you're not giving tonight, come up and put one of these in here. It won't take you but just a couple of minutes. Lift your hand if you've never filled one of these out. Lift it up. Okay, there's a few. The next instruction is this. Everything that you give this week is going to Pastor Dave's ministry and helping him get to Japan, Brazil, and all the places that God has called him to do, and just the general going forward of his ministry. This offering tonight will be the same. This is usually our Wednesday night offering that helps us out as well. And so if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you want to give to Pastor Dave and also give to the ministry, that's real easy to do. If you got an amount and you can't figure it out, that whether or not God's saying to divide it or whatever, then give it all to Pastor Dave. If it doesn't come in designated, on this envelope, there's a little place at the bottom that says other. So on the other, you can put church. And in the church, you can just tell us how much you're giving in that part. So, and we would appreciate that. But how many of you would love to help Pastor Dave go back to Japan? Hallelujah. Amen. So while you are listening to the Holy Spirit back, by popular demand, is my friend Lynn Perez. Come and sing for us, Lynn. Hallelujah.
Now, can I tell the story? Is it all right? Okay, hallelujah. Can we put the lights down, please? Thanks. Oh, God, thank you. Before I sing the song, last year, Pastor Dave and I were on three flights together. Oh, ¿cómo está? And we were on three flights together. We went to Dayton, and we went to Tulsa, and then, however, and I, when we were in Dayton, leaving Dayton, I said to Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave, why do you think we're on the same flights together? He didn't know. I didn't know. So anyway, we're sitting in an Eagle jet. It's a 50-seater, okay? Pastor Dave was by the window, and I was on the aisle. And we take off, and it was, for me, it was a little rough. I don't like any turbulence whatsoever. It's just not good. And so Pastor Dave was there, and all of a sudden, I start smelling electrical wires burning. I'm not happy. So I look at Pastor Dave, and I go, oh, my God. I looked at the flight attendant. I was right there in 3A, and I went like this, and she goes, mm-hmm. So she checks around. We don't know what happened after that. So now I'm really panicking. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is not a good smell at all. I know something's not good here. So I look over at Pastor Dave, and I look over at him, and like beady-eyed, I didn't want him to know that I was, like, panicking, that I was, like, I was gone. And I'm going, like, looking at him like that. And I finally turn to him, and he says to me, he said, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Hello, I'm in fear. I'm in fear now. Maybe, I thought maybe if he just went like this, patted the hand, it's going to be okay, Lynn. No, the flesh always wants the easy way out. Always wants the easy way out. So I had a bright idea, like, hey, how about worship? So I started to worship the Lord, and I mean, I have to tell you, my thought about Pastor Dave at the time, he was like Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. That's what he was like. Very peaceful, very, he knew what was happening. I was crazed, okay? So finally I started to worship the Lord, and when I did that, I got my peace, and I knew everything was gonna be okay. And so when he said perfect love casts out fear, and then I'm going, well, okay. And I realize it's not my love for the Lord. It's his love for me. And when I meditate that, no matter what comes, no matter what comes, whether it's an airplane flight, whether it's the devil trying to beat you up in the middle of the night with a sickness, or you've lost your job, or there's no finances, or anything else, when you know how much he loves you, and to meditate on that love for you, everything's going to be okay. everything is going to be okay. So I'm very, very grateful. And it was a good flight. Now after that, yeah, it was a good flight. Okay. So I'm going to sing the song for you. It's called I Know a Love. And I have to tell you that I'm coming to become, to know and believe the love that God has for me. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to know and believe that he loves us so much that nothing is going to happen to us. Nothing. Amen. So praise God. Praise God.
All right. Would you please stand and get ready to bring this down? You can, everybody but Pastor Dave, you're going to be ministering here in a little bit. You can rest. We're going to exempt him. Hallelujah. You can bring this down, and then why don't you greet somebody also while you're bringing it down and get ready for us to go into the Word here in a little bit. Amen. God bless you. Matt, can you find a short worship one? So, hallelujah. How are you doing tonight? You doing good? Feel good? Last night you walked. How long has it been since you had? Do you normally walk, or do you?
Close to 2 years
that you haven't walked, and that was some of the first steps that you took last night.
The longest, yeah. I usually take like maybe one or two, but I haven't been able to do it. But last night I did it.
Praise God, hallelujah. So what's he gonna do? Let's just worship just a little bit more. Get ready to present this over. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. 17 years ago, I went on a journey physically and spiritually, and Candy went with me, and we got back, and I said, I know this is it. This is the path. I know that if I do this, it'll fill what I've been longing for. It's deliberate. It's something that I can choose to do. It's a deliberate path. What I heard a man say, she said later, I've got the best. And I hope you feel the way I do. I've got the best wife in the world. She's supported me and behind me all the way, but I'd served under different people and a lot of wonderful men of God. And she thought, well, it'll probably last a couple months or something. And that couple months is turned into 17 years. And the peace, I can promise you, it's only increased. The love, what I was hoping to find, has only increased and increased and increased. That's my testimony. How about yours? Amen. Would you welcome God's servant and a good friend of mine, my pastor, Pastor Dave Roverson. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. He speaks from his side, and I should talk from mine. You know how many people have a lifetime friend and much less friends? It's not common. But I know if I was overseas or something and somebody's going to come down and beat me up, Bron could just step in and beat them up. But Lynn, when she was talking, that the plane could have went down. They were giving us the red warning and all that. And She got a little anxious, little anxiety there, but she says, "How about you?" And I said, "No, we're not." See, I found out some things, and I had to find out from him because nobody could hardly teach them to me that I could find. I never heard anything on the subject, you know. Like, what do you do when somebody comes up from the crowd and they're going to beat you up right there? You know, when I was in Brazil, since I don't speak the language, I could have learned, but I didn't want to tax myself with more and more. And I walked up front, and there's a lot of people there. This guy comes down, and he comes over. And I said, "Can I help you?" And he didn't speak English. Most of the time, they just don't walk up, you know. Well, all of a sudden, he reared back, and he hit me as hard as he could. You know what it felt like? His hand, when he got, then it slowed down to real slow, and I could watch it come in. It went, and he did it again. It goes, he did it about 3 times, and it goes. And then somebody was with me, and they said, "What's he doing?" I said, "I don't know. I think he's trying to beat me up." See, but I run into situations like that. Especially in other lands like that, often. And he's delivered me from a few of them that way. Sometimes they come down threatening and warning, you know. And it's the devil takes them. You know. So, you know, I turn the table on him. You know, he comes in, tries to beat me up. And just goes thump. First time it ever happened, I wondered, what's he doing? Why is he thumping my stomach? He was hitting me as hard as he could. And I said, when I figured out what was going on, I said, you come out in the name of Jesus now. Boy, he just hit the floor like somebody knocked him down. And when he got up, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had a testimony. He said, "God is God." See? So what happened? That devil just took him and come after me. And I've had those things happen sometimes. You know, they'll have a gun or they'll have something. They're going to take care of this, you know. But the thing that I felt, that the love of God, the real thing, see. It doesn't just cast out half your fear if you let it. It casts out all. I don't know how many times I've been threatened and came after. And usually, dead ones that end up on the floor. And so, and not only landing on the floor, but getting saved. And when they come out of it, they said, "What did I do?" I said, "Well, you come up and tried to beat me up." I said, "And you cast the devil out of you. You're going to be okay now." Sometimes we'd talk like that. They say, "You can't be afraid of where you're going. Afraid of what people will do to you. When he sends you somewhere, you don't have to be afraid." You know, we read a lot on martyrs, and we like to find out, not particularly how they survived or anything, but what kind of torture they put them through, so that we might be ready for it if we're going over to some country or something. But there hasn't been a time out of the countries I've been to that I've got hurt because of somebody jumped up and run up and tried. They tried. It just didn't work. In fact, usually the opposite would happen. They would they'd get saved instead. When I went to Brazil one time, and they told me that there's a woman here, she's got a testimony. And they briefly told me what her testimony was. I said, yes, get her to testify. Yes. So she was 21, 22 years old. And when I first came to Brazil, there was a woman who was pregnant, and her child was, there was no life in it. They couldn't pick up life in it. She came to the meeting and prayed for her, and the baby came back. Inside her, we came back alive. So now this 22-year-old woman is standing up there giving a testimony that was her. And now she's standing there testifying and getting ready to go to a doctor. She's going to go to school and be a doctor so she can help people that way. And here she was. She died and the heart stopped and prayed for her. Now something like 21, 22 years later, here she is standing there and testifying what happened to her. Yes. And then they brought me this baby. Okay, I remember why I kept looking at her legs. No, I wasn't tempted or anything. Remembering back that far, there was a child also at the same time, because they came through too. He's born with his feet on backwards. Toes were the heel. Heel was the toes. And prayed for him, and I'll be if those didn't only move, but they come and turned all the way around till the toes was on the front. And they said the baby's gonna die because it has a bad heart. Well, I find out that one of those girls that was standing there was that girl that got born and had supposed to have a bad heart and feet was on backwards. So there was several of them there that came to the meeting because I was in that area where I first went, when I went to Brazil to preach. So those are real old miracles like that, and you see what happens way down the line, and you think a guy would trade that for anything else this world has to offer? I mean, go through life with your feet on backwards. They just turned around. They went like you see them move, you know, they go and turn. Well, Jesus, he said it this way, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. He's very clear about these signs will follow them that believe. Cast out devils. The tongues part.
Yes.
So he said, go you in all the world. And he gave them that mandate. Heal the sick. Cast devils out. You know, raise the dead like it's nothing. Well, I've had people die, and it was at church, our church. One of them, she fell out of her chair on the front row, fell out of her chair and was laying flat there on the floor, and some of the prayer people got around her and was working on her. Nice preaching. They were working on her. Preach, work. Finally, they looked over helplessly at me, so I came over. And they got out of the way, and I leaned over, and I went, I am right now. Then I got up and walked over here. She opens her eyes and goes, starts breathing, then sets up. Those guys that was praying for, they said, what did you say? Oh, that's too deep for you. No, we're not kidding. What did you say? No, I'm telling you, it's a little deep for you. They said, please. And I said, okay, but I told you it's too deep. I said, what did you say? I said, in the name of Jesus, you come alive. Now. And she twitched and moved her eyes. After a little while, she sat up. And they ran me down and said, what did you say? I mean, what did you? I said, be back. Come back. Come back alive in the name of Jesus. Live. In Jesus' name, wake up. Come back. And they said, no, we don't know what you said, really said. We said that. And I said, okay. In the name of Jesus, wake up. Come alive. They says, how come it didn't work for us then? And I said, oh, that's not real hard. That's not real hard. Do you really want me to tell you? Yes. I said, okay. Because of your unbelief. And I didn't mean it mean. See, you can't keep working his plan. I don't know how it come about to have a father like we have, God. A father that's covered every base. I mean, I can make it just because of what he's done. You can make it just because of what he's done. I mean, you want to know how much he loves you? In case you didn't know how to pray, what does he do? He forms a language so that he can pray the prayers you really need for your life and your calling and things. And so what's he do? Well, I don't know how to pray. Okay, then I will create that language for you. And they say, well, I don't know what to say. Okay, then we'll provide a tongues to say it for you. What kind of father is that that creates the prayer we need, then prays it, and then answers it? Yes. Do you know it gets hard to fail? I keep trying. So he loves people. And it's hard to receive that on the level that he does. The problem is we know ourselves. We know ourselves, so we're thinking, well, he knows me like I know myself. How could he love me? An awful lot. See, you're going to populate the new heaven and the new earth. We're going to spend an eternity there, and it will be paradise. It'll be something. I mean, in fellowship. Angels don't procreate or anything. And look at their kingdom. That we're going to be his family, the sons and daughters that he wanted, but neither male nor female will be on the new planet. So we'll be his. You say, well, I can't hardly imagine that. You can't imagine living on one of the beautifulest worlds in the whole galaxies. And then he's give it to us. And fellowship with people and with angels. And I mean, you think you get excited and stuff when he comes in here. You ought to spend some time in his presence. One time I stepped in and he made me know it was the atmosphere of heaven. And he let me know so I wouldn't think I was going there right then. But I stepped into it. And here I was standing there. And people come up and I knew who they were. I knew who they were. I knew certain things. But the other things I didn't know. But you don't know everything. You think, oh, well, I'll know. It'll be so. Yes. Yes, people will come up and you might acknowledge, you know, you may know what they did for God because it would be something resident that anybody could know almost. I mean, not because you ask them or anything, but there'll be certain things because of the respect. My God, I'd be standing there and this guy got half the world born again. Man, well, you know what? I'm not going to wait till I get there to be awestruck by that. I want to work on that now. What keeps me going isn't me. I've got enough stubborn streaks and stuff to do that. It's not me that keeps me going. It's you. I know how much he loves me. But do I know how much he loves you? I do. I do. When these kind of things come, they can often manifest in an anointing. Perfect love casts out fear and it never fails. And when the love becomes really real, and I mean is inhabiting you very powerfully, do you know how much of the kingdom of the devil it would undo here? I mean, the devil found out the best way is to get some leader that has a lot of charisma to go off and get real wacky and then everybody follows him. That's how he evangelizes people and gets them to go and cut all of this out. He knows what to do. He's real smart about it. So, I mean, what looks more like religion, you know, than the Pope? I'm not being mean. But what looks more about religion, the attire, the way you approach him? Who is this guy? You know. So that's how the world, they imagine religion to be. Not a hands-on walk with your Father God because you have his nature now. And you're his child. And he wants you to reach all the people you can here because they're your brothers and sisters. That's why he wants here. Now, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I'd tell you what I'd like to be. I would be. Because I knew where to go get the wisdom, and I'd have the same wisdom. I'd like to be an entrepreneur. I'd just love to go to those guys that are just believing and want to tear the whole world up and all that. And I said, where are you going now? Well, I'm heading for Africa. 500 million, okay? I mean, my partner wouldn't be me. If I would love that ministry. If I didn't have this one, I'd have that one. You know what it feels like? My God. If I paid him for all the souls he could get saved for the next 5 years, guess what? Even though I had the gift to make the money, me and him get to stand there together for the reward. Pour it out. Pour it out. When I often wondered about that reward, and that's why I created a parable. You know, here I was standing there with Jesus, and there was a glass case in front of me, and I could look down, woo, and see everything, and I'm about to get my reward. You know, Jesus is going to give me my reward. And I'm looking down, I get to see the massive crowds that came to Christ and everything. And I'm just thinking, wow, look at this. This is really something. Then all of a sudden the door opens and the cleaning lady comes in. Remember her? And I look over and I say, Jesus, somebody let a cleaning lady in my reward place. So somebody let her in. I think I'll ask her to leave. You won't do nothing. So I says, where's she going? He says, this is her place of reward too. She's coming over to get it. That cleaning lady, I apostled nations. My God. And a cleaning lady is going to stand with me? He'd say, Roberson, Roberson, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you think. That's probably what he'd start out with. I said, well, who is this lady? He says, when you had that big operation with, say, 50,000 in each wing, you could preach from an oval rotating platform. He said that woman stood and cleaned her part. Every night she would make intercession. Every night she'd pray the whole night through for you while she was working. And then put a pin in the map of the nation I'm believing for and pray the whole night. And lots of the things that's happened in your ministry would be because she spent those long nights in prayer while she was working. And yes, she's here with you to receive her reward. I said, oh my God, I guess I don't know too much about this. Just because she wasn't the mouth doesn't mean she's not going to get the reward. So these things I began to understand when I would let the love of God begin to govern my life more than I had before. I'd give myself over and not fight anybody over nothing if possible. And the guy that, how can I word this? The thing is, I knew him, and he was going to sue me for a lot of money. It was a lot of money to me, $140,000, something like that. He's going to sue me for it. And so the lawyer accidentally, and it was I didn't do it. It was an accident. It took a long time, you know, him supplying that, and he built a profile against me, and he took a long time working with the guy who wanted to sue me and stuff. And he accidentally, or the computer did it itself. It deleted everything. I didn't do it. He goes, oh, no, it deleted it. It was gone. My whole file was gone. He says, oh, I said, uh-oh, you're in trouble. I said, I know this guy. He'll sue you. He said, well, what do I do? And I said, well, I'm not going to. I'll rebuild the file for you. How's that? And he just sat there and he looked at me and he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you know, if I remember correctly, he got saved. Well, yes, sir. Kinda buraik ni silici. Ngaundo na hari ato kinesa. Jorwa urekele oyes kina masya kinasi. His kina onaski so. He said that somebody that he died for, that many times we're destroying them with what we do and what we hold against them. And then he says, you've got to understand, I died for that man. I died for that woman to be separate to me and saved. And I'm going, oh my goodness. I died for them, and you're treating them like they're worth nothing. And so I've done it more than once. I said, oh, take it. You know, keep it. More than once I was threatened to be sued, and I never was. He's always come through for me. even when the guys run up to beat me up in the front. It felt like he was just going like this. And every time he'd hit me, I'd look at him like, what does he want? I didn't know he was trying to beat me up. The guy that lived there come running over and says, come here, get up. But you don't have to walk in fear. See, when that plane was doing all of that, you know, she said, are you scared? And I said, no. I'm going home. I was told that my back would be like it was, the whole vertebrae tilted out against the spine. The whole vertebrae went shoot. Boy, that would hurt so bad when it happened. I almost was paralyzed. Couldn't hardly move. Even just the standing up after doing it or whatever. And I had that and a growth in the side, and I had that. It was like a size of a tennis ball coming out, getting bulgier. Did you know what it was? No, I didn't go to the doctors. I didn't know. Then blood, well, it was showing up in my urine. And the reason I'm saying this, so I was laying on the floor in Texas praying when he healed my back. See, praying in tongues those times, it built me up to receive faith even. I mean, I was laying there. I didn't know how I was going to get up and go in, hardly. And I just started to move, to get up, and it went pop, or it went clack, just clicked over and went in. Last time I ever had it. Then I was at our church now preaching. And I was rejoicing over what he had done over that. And I always walked down from the pulpit. I've never got on that one hardly. But I got the same three steps. You cheated. You know, I was... I came around this side of my Bible. This hurt really bad. It was bulging. My back had been healed, though. So I was right in the middle of a step like this, right here. And all of a sudden, the power went through there. And I stopped on the step almost, but I finished coming down, and I felt absolutely gone. Hallelujah. I mean, totally gone. And so was the other. Gone. Well, have you had anything else happen? Yes, I did. But it was when the devil was all out to kill me. And I told about that last time. I was 14 stories high in Brazil in a room filled up with devils. How would you like to wake up and have a devil sitting in a chair at the end of your bed staring at you? He wasn't real. You want a bed? Well, he had stared at me a little, and I had my hand right here. And I opened my eyes, and I put my clothes on that chair, and I looked, and a silhouette was there. And I go, what in the world? Who's sitting in my clothes chair? I'm thinking. So he's looking over towards the door, and it was devils were coming in on each side, filing in. I'd say the angelic class, they were tall. And they come in, and then it was a woman. She wasn't very tall, had her hair chopped off about to here. White blouse, a skirt. She came in from this way. She came in and walked along the wall and had a smoking flax. She was blowing it up in the air like this, heading for the bed where I was at. And the other devils came on then this side. There must have been 5 or 6 of them all together. And her, they were escorting her. There's a lot of witches in the Amazon. Now this one at the end of the bed, he was watching over there, and then I was trying to figure out what he was. And so in doing that, I moved my hand down here, from here, up here, looking, trying to figure out what this is. And he caught that movement, and he said, look, he put his hands over his heart. Do you think he knows you're going to shoot him with a poison dart? That's what he said. That's when I got up and went after him. He ran over that direction. I went around the back of the bed and headed for the rest of them. And they ran for the walls, and some of them disappeared just before they got there. And others went right through the wall. And her, I didn't see how she got out. But they didn't come back. So that was in Brazil. And to say that I haven't tied in with him and had a fight, I have. But what he taught me in that is that he can't. He could not overpower me. He couldn't throw me out the window. He couldn't make me sick. God gives power over all the power of the enemy. They had to do what I said. And they did. So they left. And so I looked around, and Alan was on the other side of the door opposite mine. And I said, did you hear anything over there? Anything? He said, no, he didn't. I said, okay. Well, about 3 or 4 in the morning then, something that looked like that woman come running into the room right through the wall and come into my bedroom. And so I had to run her off again. And then I got Alan, because there was 3 people in front of a dumpster 14 stories down, and they were yelling out about 4 in the morning, Pastor Dave Roberson, can't you help us? Just screaming that out loud outside of the hotel. Pastor Dave Roberson, can you help us? And all he was trying to do is to get me to come out. But I didn't know what I know now. I'd have just taken care of it real good. But in that then, I waited for their next move and stuff. I wouldn't do that now. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I can tell you earnestly, getting near the end of the meeting, that the devil doesn't like. I can say something else. That's just too bad, isn't it? So I've had these last few years have been real peaceful, and been preaching quite a few camp meetings and different things, and he's not tried anything lately. So, hey, I think we put him in too much pain when he comes around. He doesn't want me for an assignment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the peace of God is asking me if I don't know something about his love. I know that he loves me. And I know if he can love me, he can love you. And there's so much power waiting to be tapped into. But I know now beyond anything that if we come to the fullness of that love he has, then this world's going to see something, a revival. Yes. And I rejoice and be glad for what I've said I've done for you. That's what I've done. You can step into what I've done. Minister to yourself. If you can't believe what I've said, minister to yourself in those areas until you step in to what I said that you could have. Yes, he said. To worship God, to worship him. Or he said, worship me. And don't stop, no matter what the devil tries to pull on you. That you'll find yourself, when you worship me, that you'll come into a presence that'll take care of that problem that you have. You're inviting me in, and I'll come because I love you and I love your fellowship, saith the Lord. Woo! Woo! Well, I wasn't intending on any of this. I thought I'd call a few people out and go home. Oh, this is kind of unusual, but it's an anger. It's an anger that takes a hold of a person, and they don't like it particularly, but it seems to be able to come, and they'll get really angry. It seems to be able to come and do that in their life. They'd really get angry or mad or sorry for what they did then to somebody. Come on over. Talking about loving people, huh? Doesn't he? Isn't it great? What you're feeling now is that glory saturate. Begin. That in the name of Jesus, no matter what it is, you died under the penalty of it. He don't have to have this anymore. Release your glory and power in him and give him the peace in that area in the name of Jesus. Whew.